There are just too many examples of apostates and false prophets in the church today. What does the book of Jude tell us about that subject? I'm Dr. Fred, and you're listening to Study, Grow, Know. Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative, biblical perspective. I'm your host, Dr. Fred DeRubo. Hi, I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to Study, Grow, Know. Thanks so much for joining me again today. If you've been following along with us, you know that we have been studying in the book of Jude. That book is 25 verses, but as I've stated before, it really packs a spiritual wallop. There's a tremendous amount of information for us in that small book. And last time we were together, we talked about the fact that Jude had mentioned some of the apostates and false teachers that he was warning his readers about. And in it, he said that we need to contend earnestly for the faith. And contending earnestly for the faith doesn't mean getting into ridiculous debates and arguing with people. What it means is presenting the truth and leaving it at that. And we may need to present the truth repeatedly, but we don't sit there and waste time debating people. When we look at what Jesus did, we note that he stated. He never debated. He simply stated the truth of the issue and left it at that. And often that truth silenced his opponents. That's what we're supposed to do. We are supposed to, in love, but yet firmly, we are supposed to contend for the gospel. We left off last time discussing the fact that Ananias and Sapphira, a husband and wife couple in Acts chapter 5, had decided to sell some land, and together they decided that they would give part of that money to the church, but they would say that they had given all of the money to the church instead of only part of it. Now, as Peter explained to them just before they died, they could have given only part of it and said they were only giving part of it. They didn't have to give any of it, but the fact that they lied was something that the Holy Spirit needed to deal with, and he did deal with it. And this is the problem, because obviously, when we have people coming into the church who are teaching error, all too often it seems we let it slide. Obviously, we don't want them dead. We don't want the Holy Spirit to take their life. But we do need to approach them, and we do need to warn them that what they're teaching, what they're proposing, what they're espousing is not biblical truth. And they need to be warned about that, gently, but firmly, lovingly. And if they do not acquiesce, if they don't come around to see that they're incorrect and we're correct where the Bible is concerned, they may need to even be put out of the church, and we mentioned that before. Now, if taking the case of Ananias and Sapphira, imagine if these two individuals had been allowed to get away with their lying. It was not important that they gave everything to the church. The problem was that they lied about what they did give. They could have honestly said to Peter that they sold their property and were giving only part of it as a donation to the church. That would have been fine, as they were really under no obligation to begin with to give anything at all to the church. They weren't being forced to sell their land. They weren't being forced to hand over that money. It was something they wanted to do in and of themselves. They went above and beyond the requirements by deciding to sell the land and offer even part of it to the newly formed and growing church from Acts chapter 2. It was because they lied about the true amount they gave to the church that God took their lives, and this became a warning for all in the church. Now, the big difference between Ananias and Sapphira, really, is that all the apostates that Jude is referring to is that on one hand, apostates are truly not part of the authentic church, whereas Ananias and Sapphira could have been and likely were part of the authentic church. Now, if so, God merely took Ananias and Sapphira home early before they should have died because of their sin of lying to God, as if he would never know the truth. Now, apostates, on the other hand, are not only part of the authentic church, they're not part of the authentic church, but they really have no desire to be part of the authentic church. The only desire they have is really for themselves, and they will use whatever means is necessary to gain what they believe they need and want from those people in the church. Now, an excellent example of this today can be seen in the lives of many TV and radio preachers. I'm not going to bother naming names. You probably can come up with your own examples in your own head. But when we look below the surface and past a lot of their Christian-sounding verbiage or words, it becomes clear that money is their God, and they do and say whatever it takes to gain more of it, even using the gospel as their chief means of obtaining more money. Again, I could easily name names, but you're probably thinking of the same type of person that I am here. Look at the TV evangelists who have huge, tremendously large nonprofit corporations. They dress in the best suits. They have huge homes on hundreds of acres of land somewhere with horses, cattle, and everything else. They have a lot of cars. How does that work, you might ask? And I've asked it. Many of these individuals teach and preach that they're no different from you and I, except that they've learned to put their faith to good use. Sure they have, in feeding and catering to themselves. They tell us that we can be just like them if only we will begin to trust God. The reality is that these people are charlatans, and they do not want us to become just like them, because then there will be one less person to support them and their lifestyle. Oh, sure, occasionally they're going to have someone on their show who reportedly has learned to use his or her faith to do the same things they do, but more often than not, these people are simply planted there, designed to encourage listeners to believe that Joe or Jane average person can exercise faith like the TV evangelist, and goodness, look what happens. They get money, they become rich, all of their needs are taken care of. Unfortunately, it's a terrible, terrible sham, and it's all being done in the name of the gospel. These individuals, and I'm not saying all of them certainly, but certainly some of these individuals are apostates because they are using religion to acquire things that they want to have in this life. When you see them in a one-on-one interview, they appear humble. They even quote scripture, and they talk about God as if they truly know him, but inwardly, they have to be wolves, merely pretending to be sheep, because their entire message does not square with the Bible. There is nothing in the Bible that says God wants to make every one of his children rich and give us the best cars, the best homes, all the money we can possibly hope for. There is nothing in Scripture that tells us that. So these people who preach that are wrong. And it is unfortunate that they continue to preach what they do. And even more unfortunate is the fact that there are plenty of people who give them money because they tend to believe, or at least wish for, the same type of lifestyle that those TV evangelists have. And over time, these apostates, these TV evangelists, and they become masters at deception, and their net worth proves it because they are so rich. Now, I'm not saying that God never causes any of his children to become wealthy. I'm not saying that at all. There are many Christians who are very wealthy, and they have become wealthy through hard work and God's blessing. Job in the Old Testament, for instance, was one of the wealthiest, if not the wealthiest man alive during his time. And in the Old Testament, that was a sign of God's blessing. You had long life, you had many children, you had wealth. But that's not the way it is today. And Jesus' life proves that. It simply proves it. He was not a wealthy man. He said he didn't even have a place to lay his head down. So the fact that we have TV evangelists teaching us something that Jesus did not live should be a major warning for us. Now, if God blesses a person, a Christian, so that they do become wealthy, there's nothing wrong with that. He's done that. But for us and every one of his children to expect that is not correct. I'm referring to people who use religion as a means of becoming rich. I'm not talking about the Christian who, because of hard work and God's blessing and choice, makes that person wealthy because God has things that he wants that individual to do, and he knows that that person will use those funds, all that money, wisely. I'm talking about the people who use religion as a means to become rich. In God's name, they fleece people, and most of these people that they get money from are poor already. Out of what they have, which isn't much, and they have absolutely no remorse about what they do. There are many evangelists within the Word of Faith movement, for instance, who do this. They preach a name-it-claim-it type of theology in which all we have to do is use our faith to draw the things we want or need to us, and God will have to do it. This is absolute nonsense. It is totally unscriptural. And more than that is the highest insult to God's sovereignty and holiness, reducing him to the level of some genie in a bottle. Let me remind us all that when Jude opened this book of Jude, he said he called himself a bondservant. And we already talked about that. We talked about the fact that he said he was literally a slave. Are you a slave to Jesus? Am I a slave to Jesus? I hope we actually love the idea of being a slave to Jesus. What slave on earth becomes wealthy because of his master? That slave's needs will be taken care of. They'll have food on their table. They'll have a place to eat. They'll have a place to sleep. They'll have a place to live. But there is no obligation on the part of that master to make his slaves wealthy. Now, the reason many give in to this idea that if they give their money, and by the way, I'm only talking about one form of apostate here, one form of apostasy that tends to ripple through a congregation. It is the idea that we can and should claim riches that God is supposed to give us. And the reason many people fall for it is because they don't know scriptures themselves, but simply rely on what these TV evangelists say on the air or write about in their books. Do you know that we are absolutely 100% responsible for everything we believe? You can't sit there and say, well, I heard it from Dr. Fred on Study Grow Know, therefore it must be true. It is your obligation to take what I'm saying and go back to Scripture, just like the Bereans did in Acts 17. That is your job. You cannot shirk or avoid that responsibility. I will never forget the one time I was watching Larry King live, and there was a guest on the show. I won't mention the person's name, but she has recently, not long ago, died of cancer. Well, King asked her, if Jesus was alive today, would he be wearing $1,000 suits, $500 suits? Would he live like a millionaire in large homes and have expensive cars? And without hesitation, this person responded that she believed Jesus would do that, that he would be a man of the times. Well, unfortunately, this is ridiculous. He could have easily been a man of the times during his own lifetime. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were very wealthy, often beyond measure. They wore the nicest robes, they had the most expensive homes, and ate the best food. Jesus could have done that and been one of them if he wanted to compromise his life. But he didn't want to because it was not the Father's will for his life. Moreover, much of the money that the Pharisees gained was gotten through cheating fellow Jews. Folks, that's just one form of apostasy. We're going to talk about a few others as time goes on here, and I hope you'll continue with me then. That's about all the time we have for our show today, and I once again really appreciate you joining me. I know that you probably have other things that you could be doing, but thank you for joining me for these 15-minute blurbs every day, or how often you are able to tune into us. Thanks so much for doing that, and we're going to be staying with the Book of Jude for just a while longer. Then when we get done with Jude, we'll move into other areas. But until then, may God bless you richly. Hi, I'm Dr. Fred DeRubo of StudyGrowKnow.com. We're living in strange times, very likely what the Bible calls the end times, just prior to the last period of human history known as the Tribulation. Well, at StudyGrowKnow.com, I present broadcasts each week designed to help you grow through knowledge of God's Word. Besides my broadcasts, I've written numerous books about the modern state of Israel as it relates to God's Word, commentaries for the layperson on Revelation and the Olivet Discourse, and many other books on a variety of topics, including prophetic issues. Whether it's the rapture or political issues like Islam, prophecy in general, or the end times specifically, I offer a conservative biblical perspective on these and other subjects. I hope you'll join me at StudyGrowKnow.com each week as I discuss issues that are important to you. For all our broadcasts and resources, go to StudyGrowKnow.com. That's StudyGrowKnow.com. You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRubo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a conservative, biblical perspective.